Malachi chapter number 4. We're going to start in verse number 1. I have a word of prayer, and I'm going to just... It's kind of a neat thing I think we're going to do this morning. Look at something this morning, and I think it'll be interesting. So Malachi chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Let's pray this morning, and we'll get into our lesson this morning. Father, I do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you just for the opportunity that you give us to come to your house today. And Lord, I pray that you'd help all the Sunday schools that are going on right now. And Lord, I pray that you'd help the young people that came. And Lord, the faithfulness of those that come during this somewhat difficult time of the year to get up and get going to church. And Lord, I thank you for those here this morning. Lord, there's many here, I'm sure, that did not feel like coming to church, and Lord, did not want to, but Lord, they felt the need to, Lord, and I thank you for them, and I thank you for their faithfulness and the good testimony that they are to me and my family. And Lord, I pray that you just bless them and help them. Lord, help us this morning as we look at some things in your word. And Lord, I pray that this would just be a blessing to the folks. And Lord, just use my words, Lord, to just convey the message that you'd have me to convey this morning. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd go back to verse number 16, we looked at this last week, verse number 16 of chapter 3. We looked at this last week just very, very briefly. But let's go back to Malachi chapter 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." And then it goes into chapter 4, which we just read. "For behold, the day of the Lord cometh that shall burn as an oven." So we see here, as we talked about last week, we went through different things that God's going to bring a curse. If you remember what we talked about last week about the tithes and us not giving to God what we should be giving to God, and we went through several things last week. I'm not going to go through that again. But then it talks about, "Then they that feared the Lord." And this is talking about Christians that still serve God, that still do what God asked them to do. And then in verse number 1, in chapter 4, the Bible starts talking about the day that cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts. And this is looking in the future, even for us. This is looking into the future when God comes and God judges the earth for their wickedness. This is the final judgment. This is when all the wicked are basically eliminated off the earth, okay? And then, as you all know, they all stand before the judgment, the great white throne judgment, and those that have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will be cast into the lake of fire. And so we see that here. And but on verse number 2, I want you to notice that, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is in verse number 2. And I thought it was kind of a neat statement. The Bible says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." I've worked around calves before, and that calves of the stall, if you know anything about calves that are just put into a stall, they basically have no worries, okay? Everything is provided for them. Their food is right there. I mean, they don't even have to go out and graze. Their food is put in front of them. Their water is put in front of them. They sleep there. They are confined to that stall. When the Bible talks about a fatted calf, that's what a fatted calf basically would have been. It would have been a calf that would have been put into a particular corral, and it would have been fattened up. It didn't have to go forage or didn't have to go graze and didn't have to burn any extra calories. That cow was put in that stall. So God's saying here, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. God's saying, you're not going to have any worries after I take over. All the things that we looked at in chapter 3, all the things that sometimes we just don't understand, and God's saying, listen, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and after that, you don't have anything to worry about. And that's what we look forward to as Christians, is that hope, that blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. But I want you to look at the statement here, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. The Son of Righteousness. So, Brother Chad, what does it mean by the Son of Righteousness? Who is that talking about? That's talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. Now, if you looked in the Bible, this, as far as I know, maybe I'm missing something that would be worded somewhat different, but this is the only place where it talks about Jesus Christ. They call him the Son, S-U-N. Many times he's called the Son, S-O-N. He's called the Light many times, L-I-G-H-T. But this is the only time I found that he was called the Son, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. And I got to thinking about that. You know, the Son is obviously a very, we couldn't live without the Son. The Son, I did some research on it. I mean, I'm sure I learned it all in science class, but it all slipped my mind, okay? So I had to go look up some things. I found some neat things about the Son, okay? The Son is 330,000 times the size of the Earth. That's how much bigger the Sun is than the Earth, okay? And, you know, we serve a pretty big God. And when we compare ourselves to God, you know, I can't even fathom something that is as big as what we think our Earth is, and then something 330,000 times bigger. Not 100 times bigger, not 200 times bigger, 330,000 times bigger. We serve a big God. And, you know, the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, is our Savior, and we serve an awesome God. We serve an amazing God. So that was one thing. The temperature. Now, I told my wife last night, I was like, how in the world, you know, do they know? How in the world do they know how hot that sun is? Okay? But they do. They do. They know how hot this is. 9,880 degrees Fahrenheit is the surface. That's the surface of the sun. Okay? Now, I'm not sure what kind of probe they, you know, thermometer they sent up there to determine that it's 9,880 degrees, but I don't know of any element in our planet that can withstand 9,880 degrees. So I'm not real sure how they determine that. Then this gets even more interesting. They say that the core of the sun is 25, get this, million degrees. 25 million degrees. There again, not real sure how they determine that the sun is 25 million degrees in the middle, but that's what the scientists tell us. So, of course, we believe everything that scientists tell us. So, that's what you got. It is 92.96 million miles from Earth. That's a long way. I read someplace, I don't have the exact number, but everybody know what a light year is? If you travel the speed of light in a year, that's what a light year is, okay? So, I mean, fast as I flip the switch on and light hits your eyeball, if you had that for a year, that's a light year. It's an unfathomable for me, okay? But they said it would take 8 minutes, 8 minutes and like 39 seconds to travel a light year, okay? It's crazy. So, but anyway, 92.96 million miles. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't know if anybody's ever been to the Creation Museum down in, is it Kentucky? Kentucky or southern Indiana? It's right on the border there. If you do, go to the planetarium. Go to the planetarium. It's amazing. You know, they start with the world, the Earth, okay? And you're sitting there, and you're like in a reclined back seat, and you're sitting there, and you're looking up at the ceiling. They start with the world, and it looks pretty big on the screen. And then they blow it up to the world in our solar system. And it's like, where did we go? And then they blow our solar system up into the Milky Way galaxy, and you don't even know where it's at. And then that's just one of, they don't know how many galaxies there are. And it's just like, wow. And we serve, and the sun is 330 times the size, and you can't even see it. It's gone. All right? And it's pretty amazing how big our God is. But the Son of Righteousness, let's go to John chapter 1. And we're going to look at this Son of Righteousness and just some different interesting things about this. If you take that thought and you kind of go with it, John chapter number 1. Verse number 1. I'm going to read some scripture this morning. Excuse me. And then I got four different things that I want you to look at with me. John chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. If you notice in verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. First thing about the sun, and you all have to agree with me on this because it's unexcusable, but the sun gives life. The sun gives life. You know, folks, without the sun, we would not have life. It would be impossible. The plants that we have outside, light, the sunlight is essential for plants to grow. A plant won't grow in here even though we have light. That's not the same as sunlight. And you know, God is the one that gives us all life. Jesus Christ is the one, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just refreshing our memory. But Jesus Christ is the one that gives us life. Jesus Christ is the one that gives us not only physical life, God gives us physical life and Jesus Christ, but He gives us eternal life. So the sun gives us life. Not just the Son of God, but also the sun, that the very unique star, if you would, that God give us for our solar system. The sun gives us life. So we see that for that. Let's go to John chapter 12. Excuse me. John chapter 12. We'll get through these fairly quickly. John chapter 12, verse number 35. Then Jesus, John chapter 12, verse 35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. You know what Jesus is saying here? The light, I'll just tell you what I've wrote down here, the sun provides unequivocal, that means unequaled, or I could say unequaled, that's easier, unequaled clarity. The sun provides unequaled clarity. How many has ever walked through your house, and your house isn't as bad as someplace foreign, but you walked, maybe went someplace and you walked through the house and didn't have a light on, and inevitably, you know, one of the kids left something on the floor, or they pulled the chair out and didn't push it back in. And you're always, you know, you stub your toe on it, and, you know, it's like, oh, my toe. Which I'm not real sure why we do it, but I always step on my toe when I stub it. It's like, why do I do that? Not that this really has anything to do with the lesson, but it's like you step on it, and it's like, does that make it feel better? Or I'm not real sure, but I always step on it. Sometimes I'm here at church, and I don't always, if I come here late or whatever, my office, if you call it an office, is downstairs. A lot of times I'll just come in and I just go down there. I don't turn the lights on. I mean, but when I come to the bottom of the steps, if I'm coming back upstairs, you know, I've been sitting in a room that's light. So you turn the light off and everything's dark. You know how it is right after turn the light off and everything's dark and your eyes are still trying to adjust. So I always come up to the steps downstairs and I always got to feel them. I kind of like shuffle my feet until I feel the first step. And then I go, there we go. And then I step up the step. And I pretty much know once I get to the top of the steps. But then sometimes I can't remember how many steps there were. So, you know, you do the whole stepping thing and you're going to another step and there's nothing there. And it's like, oh, throw my back out or something. All right. And, you know, you guys have done that. But you know what? If I had light, I would have clarity to where I'm going. You know what Jesus says here? If I'm in your life, I can provide unequaled clarity to your direction, to the steps that you take. And that's what the sun is. You know, the sun, and this will bring me to my second point, and these two kind of go together. But the sun, there is no replacement for sunlight. There's none. There's a farmer, if you go through Lewis, like heading towards Black Hawk, right there on the corner, is it Jarvis's? It used to be Jarvis's. It's Monty something. Anyway, there's a farm there. And at night, I don't know what kind of light he has. He's got, have you seen that? I want some from my house. I mean, and it looks like two lights. I may be wrong, but up on top of his grain leg, he's got a couple lights. And if you go by there at night, I mean, it looks, I mean, as bright as can be out there. I mean, his whole farming operation is lit up. And it's pretty amazing. But you know, as powerful as those lights are, that doesn't even hold a candle when that sun come over the horizon this morning. There's nothing that can hold a candle to that. I got a light here this morning. This is actually one of my favorite Christmas presents my wife ever gave me. This is actually a really pretty cool light. I think it was made by Black & Decker, okay? But it takes like 6C batteries or something. But this thing, I can have this thing on for hours. And just the other day, she bought it like 2 years ago for me for Christmas. And I first put the first set of batteries in it like beginning of this year. So really good light. But, you know, this is a pretty bright light. Now, you don't think it's very bright because there's so many lights in here today, okay? But if it's dark, this is a pretty nice light. It's got a lot of what they call lumens, okay? And I don't really know what that stands for, but it's lumens, okay? That's what they rate lights by. It's pretty powerful. It's a pretty powerful light. On my truck, I have it rigged up where I can, because I work late sometimes, a lot of times, and I got it rigged up where I got work lights. They're LED work lights, and I can plug them into my truck, and they're magnetic bases, and I can stick them wherever I want and light what I'm working up. You know, they're pretty nice, but when the sun comes up, you can't even tell that they're on. And, you know, that's what God is for us. That's what Jesus Christ is compared to anything else that we consider, oh, that's a guiding light for us. No, it's not. You know, when you're doing drywall, if you do drywall or something, or, you know, natural light, natural sunlight reveals, and this is a good truth, natural sunlight reveals errors that no other light can reveal. It does. If you look across a wall compared to natural light and artificial light, natural light picks up things that you would never see with an artificial light. Can you imagine? I mean, it's just amazing. I love Alaska. I think I could go. I would love living in Alaska. Just the remoteness of it. But I'm not sure if I could deal with the whole, you know, darkness thing. I like light. I like it when the sunlight comes up. I like it when the sunlight comes and you feel the, you know, a nice morning like this morning. It's brisk. But when that sun comes up, you feel it. It's just like the warmth starts working through you. There's no light that man can make or ever will make that can even touch what God's made for us. There's nothing, folks, that can even touch what Jesus Christ is for us. There's nothing that can touch what the direction, the guidance that Jesus Christ can give to us if we will let him. Amen. If we'll let him. So there is no replacement for the sun. They got grow lights out now. Okay, I know this because I kind of keep up with some of this stuff. They got grow lights. You can have plants in your basement and you can take these grow lights and it's supposed to provide the same stuff that the sun provides. Okay. Yeah, and they're growing two little, you know, ferns that some lady's trying to keep through the winter. Okay? You know what God has? God has a thing that he can light a whole half of this world at one moment. It's just amazing what God has provided. And Jesus Christ, and I want you just to, in your minds today, I want you to think about what Jesus Christ is to us. Jesus Christ is that one that gives us life. There is no replacement for the light that Jesus Christ gives us. Okay? I don't mind working at night. I really don't. But there is no replacement for sunlight. When me and Dad used to drive tractors, we'd drive them late into the night. There is no replacement for sunlight, though. And there is no replacement for Jesus Christ. So the sun gives us life. The sun provides unequaled clarity. God, Jesus Christ, will give us direction. There is no replacement for the sun. There is no replacement. It's interesting, when you start studying the sun, it's amazing. You can see the hand of our Creator in the positioning of the sun, in the rotation of the sun, in the cross. It's amazing. Everything lines up perfectly. If we were within, if we were a thousand, remember I said 92.96, what, million miles? Like if we were, I don't know, it was something crazy small compared to that, like a couple thousand miles closer to the sun, it would be too hot on earth for us to live. I mean, it was something like that. God placed us just right. And God, Jesus Christ, will give us clarity. And sometimes, you know, as a Christian, I'm looking to all these other sources for direction. I'm trying to, you know, find my way, when all I need to do is go ask Jesus Christ, Lord, guide me. Show me where I need to go next. And God will give me that light if I ask Him for that. I remember being in the woods sometimes, you know, not having a light, and you're walking along and, you know, you think you know where you're going, but you didn't remember that big bramble bush right in front of you. You know, it's kind of a painful experience. Okay? You know, if I had a light, I could see that. If I had the sun, I could see that. So the sun gives, excuse me, the sun gives life. The sun provides unequaled clarity. There is no replacement for the sun. Then this last one we'll spend just a few more minutes on. Let me say this. The sun is always there, even though you don't always see it. Last night, did the sun go away? No. Sun didn't go away. The sun was in the same spot as it always had been. But did I see the sun last night? No. Did I have as much light last night? No. But it was still there. You know, Jesus Christ is still there whether you see Him or not. Whether you see Him active in your life, He's still there. We don't always understand. Sometimes we go through what I would call dark times of life. But Jesus Christ is still there. He's still there. Reminded me of that song, He's Still on the Throne. And He's still on the throne, so what could be wrong? He is. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. I think that's a pretty amazing thought, that even though in my darkest, or what you would think is your darkest moment, Jesus Christ is still there. Jesus Christ is still there. So don't be afraid, because, you know, then it goes again to the next song. But the sun's coming up in the morning. Every tear will be drying from my eye. The Son of Righteousness. Don't worry, it'll come. Just give it time. You know, in the darkest time, it's neat if you get up real early and you watch the sun come up. You know, it's just a very faint glow. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And before long, it's powerful enough you can see everything around you. You can see everything around you. So don't give up in that. Here's a thought. Okay, I got this light up here. And I want you, everybody can see. Can you all see that light? Okay? All right, good. So I got this light up here, and I had thought about this too. I don't know if I can sit that way. There we go. So I'm not shaking all over the place. Remember, the sun is always there even though we don't see it. Say, Brother Chad, why do we not see the... And this is not always the truth. But Brother Chad, why do we not always see the sun? Why do we not always see the sun? Why does it always sometimes feel like Jesus Christ is just not there? Well, I just don't have any guidance in life, any direction. Let me throw this thought at you. I want you to mull it over. Okay, I got some circles here this morning. just a black piece of construction paper. I want you to think about this with me this morning. Let's illustrate this as the world, okay? The earth, the world, right? Okay, what's this? The word, good, okay? So this is the sun. I know it's not very bright, but this is going to be considered the sun. You know why sometimes we can't see the sun? Is because the world comes between me and the sun. That's all darkness is because I'm on the other side. Nighttime is when the sun is complete a rotation on its axis, and I'm on the opposite side of the world that the sun is on. And you know what, folks? Sometimes the world comes between me and the sun, and you know what? It gets pretty dark. It gets real dark. And as a Christian, and I know this is true in my life, 100% true. Sometimes when it seems like, and I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes when it seems like the darkest is when I've let something in the world come between me and the sun. I've let either the cares of this world, the riches of this world, something like that, a relationship in this world, I've let that come between me and the sun. And when I've let that come between me and the sun, obviously it's what? Darkness. You can't see. You don't have any direction. If you're outside and you know, it's hard to see. You know, the sun is super, super bright. But then if you get under something, it casts a what? A shadow. It casts a shadow. But you know why? Because there's something in between me and the sun. There is no shadow if there's nothing between. You know, as a Christian, I want to keep my life. Remember what the sun provides us? Life. So if I want to be a healthy, growing Christian, I want to keep my life in direct sunlight. I don't want there to be a shadow putting something in between me and my life, in between me and God. I want to keep my life clean. I don't want anything to shadow where God's light can't give me life. So as a Christian, think about that this week. What is there maybe in my life that, and this happens every day to me. It's so easy to let something come between us and God. It is. It's very easy. It's a daily thing to get rid of all that junk that comes between me and God. You know, but if you go days and days and days, how many in here, their spirit is good after, you know, you've got 2 weeks of clouds? It kind of works on you, doesn't it? You know, it's like, oh, sunlight. Thank you, Lord. I can't stand. I mean, I was working on a roof. In December. I'm not sure. But Lord blessed us this December with some really beautiful weather. But it was really cloudy. And I was just like, man, this is discouraging. And then one afternoon, the sun came up, and there was like 2 hours of sunlight. And it was like it gave me new energy. I was like, man, this is great, warm. But, you know, if I have days and days and days without sun, you know, I'm not saying I'm, you know, getting depression. I think that's a lot of a choice, but you know, at some point, it's just nice to see the sun come out. You know, in the spring when we get a lot of rain, sometimes it's just nice to see the sun. And you know, as Christians, we let a lot of stuff come between us and God. Just like this light, I could be in the darkest woods, and this light will give me light. But if I put my hand over it, it doesn't give me any light. Because something's coming between the light and what I'm trying to illuminate. So as a Christian, keep our lives clean. I need to keep my life clean. I struggle with this, okay? I struggle with keeping the cares of this world from, you know, blocking the sunlight that God has for me. So the sun of righteousness. Let me ask you this morning, what is Jesus to you? What is Jesus to you? Is he moonlight or is he sunlight? Oh, I don't get much. I don't feel like God's directing me a whole lot. Well, Maybe you should, maybe there's something in between you and God. I know that's true in my life. If I don't feel like, man, it's like I'm just getting farther away from God, it's not God's fault. Remember, the sun is still there. Sun never changed position. It's me that changed position. My position to God changed. When I went around, when the earth turned, my position to God changed. So what's your position to God, and how could it be better? Let's go. I'm going to go ahead and just show you a few more references. With those thoughts in mind, in John chapter 3, we'll read these and then we'll... John chapter 3, verse 16, very familiar. Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Remember, the sun provides unequal clarity. It'll show all the errors of our life. But a lot of times we don't want to see the errors. Oh, that's good enough. We don't want to see what's wrong. That's why the Bible says men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Okay? 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." And then Revelation chapter 22. And this is the promise that God's given to us. Remember, it's the Son of Righteousness. I think this is something as what Malachi was referencing in his prophecy. Malachi, or Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 3. "And there shall be no more curse," this is talking about in heaven, "but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." This is the final promise. But I think God's also given us, in his creation, as it is so evident in so much of his creation, God showed us, here, the Son of Righteousness. What's the Son to you? Does the Son give you life? Does the Son provide clarity for direction in your life? Does the sun, are you trying to replace the sun with, you know, something that's very minimal? Or is there something getting in between you and the sun? So something to think about this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your house. Thank you for the folks this morning. And I pray that you just bless us. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord, not to let anything to get in between me and you. And just help me keep my life clean. And we love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.